Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and call this meeting to order. Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, May 27th, 2020, and the time is 1:05 Central Time is what I have. I now call this meeting of the Texas Prepaid Funeral Guarantee Fund Advisory Council to order. This is telephonic meeting is authorized pursuant to Section 154.355 of the Texas Finance Code. At this time, I will conduct a roll call of the Texas Prepaid Funeral Guarantee Fund Advisory Council members. Members, please respond that you are present when I call your name. Rebecca Ann Motley.
Present.
Amy Biggs.
Present.
And Wallace Jones.
Present.
We have a quorum of the Prepaid Funeral Guarantee Fund Advisory Council with three members present. The Department of Banking staff attending this meeting include myself, Russell Reese, Assistant Deputy Commissioner, Jesse Cecile, Director of the Non-Depository Supervision. We also have Jay Kim, Review Examiner of the Non-Depository Supervision. And via telephone, we have Alice Geyer, Assistant General Counsel. Our first agenda item is discussion of and possible vote to approve minutes of the May 9th, 2019 and November 13th, 2019 Prepaid Funeral Guarantee Fund Advisory Council meetings. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the May 9th, 2019 and November 13th, 2019 Prepaid Funeral Guarantee Fund Advisory Council meetings?
I'll make the motion.
Motion made by Wallace Jones. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
And second made by Amy Biggs. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes. All right, the next item, the discussion of and possible to vote to approve the activity of the funds and the investment officer reports for the period of March 1st, 2019 to February 29, 2020. Director Jesse Cecile will lead this discussion.
Hello, good afternoon. Again, Jesse's Texas Department of Banking. Go over the agenda item B, which is pages pages 4 through 11, which is a trust funded activity period. As a reminder, you know, the guarantee fund accounts are administered in accordance with subchapter H of chapter 154 of the Texas Finance Code and chapter 25 of the Texas Administrative Code. And like I mentioned, chapter 4 and 5 is a recap of the activity for the whole 12-month period. And I will give you a quick summary of the page 4 there in front of you. It's you will notice there's a gray bar that runs through that page, and everything on the left-hand side of that bar are true guarantee fund activity. What you will notice in there, besides trustee fees and interest earned, there are three claims against the guarantee fund that Russell Reese will discuss later in this meeting. So I will go over some of the items on the right-hand side of the account reconciliation. Everything on the right-hand side basically are seized funds and or restitution that's payable to consumers. We deposited in this fund to administer it and oversee it, and that's why it's being reported separately, but it is part of the grand total. One of the things that I would like to go over are items, aside from normal activity that we've been, a lot of this is items that we've been getting payments throughout years and months for previous activity or previous orders that we've issued. And each one of them is, there's a footnote on there, and each alongside that, there's the number on the actual narrative will have a brief description of that item. I'm gonna go over items 5 and 10, just in particular, which are related to Austin Peel and Son. And if you all remember, Austin Peel and Son was something that we went over years ago, that we actually found out that this funeral home in Austin was selling illegal contracts, and we were able to collect restitution. And from there, this is the withdrawals of that money, basically where we collected the money previously, and here is where the money is being paid out to consumers. The money there will be number 5 is basically where we paid out $291,000 approximately to consumers. And on item 10, that is where we cheated some of those funds to the state because we were not able to secure good contact information for the consumers. But this was a good situation where, as far as, you know, we became aware of this funeral home selling pre-needs without a permit, and we were able to collect restitution in full. So this was a good something good. And then I'll go over items 13, 18, and 20. This is Hernandez Funeral Home. This is a situation where, as part of one of our examinations, we became aware that there were canceling contracts and fraudulently. We became aware of it during our examination. We did do a seizure order, and we able to collect some restitution. But as part of our process, we did try to find some successful providers, and we issued 2 separate bids, and we did not get any bids, so we went ahead and started issuing restitution earlier this month. So that's why we have some money coming in, and also some money. Item 13 is the money that was seized that was eventually deposited in this account, and then eventually you'll see some money that's being deposits and so forth. But in May, which is after this reporting period, we started paying out the restitution to consumers. Okay, any questions on items pages 4 and 5?
Okay. Are you opening up for discussion?
Yes.
Okay. Are you done with that, with explaining it?
I'm sorry?
Are you done with explaining all the numbers?
I was providing a recap on pages 4 and 5 only, and then I was going to go through the rest of the pages after that.
Oh, okay. I just had some input when you're finished.
Oh, okay. Pages 7 or 6 through 11 are the quarterly reports that we produce for the trust-funded activity. Those are produced every quarter, and they are provided to the Finance Commission for their review. And this is just a recap of all those reports, so you can see the quarterly activity. This is basically the recap that's provided on pages 4 and 5, but in more detail in a quarterly basis. Okay, then that's on page 12. We have the insurance funded activity, and this is a recap for the insurance funded account, and it's the same time period, March 1st, 2019 through February 29th, 2020. Here you just basically all we have is interest earned and some fees, trustee fees, and the assessments collected during this period. And right behind that, starting on page 13 through page 16, you have the same quarterly reports that are produced to the Finance Commission, which again is a recap. It's the same activity in here, but it's provided in quarterly reports there. Right now, we've for calendar year 2019, as far as assessments, we've collected a total of approximately $75,000. In calendar year 2018, it was $72,000. So it was a slight increase. And I think if the $75,000 holds true for the next couple of years, well, I think within 5 years, we will reach the $1 million fund balance requirement, and after that, we will not assess anymore after this fund reaches $1 million. So this fund is intended to cover any insurance funded contract or issues with insurance funded prepaid funeral contracts. That's all I have for my recap. But Rebecca, what you would like to go over, your question or comment?
Oh, yeah, thank you. My question is this. When you question, the restitution check payment?
Yes.
Is there any kind of a letter or a link or a brochure for consumers to help guide them into kind of like what we do with Funeral Consumer Alliance? One of the things we do is education on the things to look for and to prepare for and the questions to ask. Is there any kind of a letter that's included in that, a link to the DOB site or?
Yes, the answer to your question is yes. We do definitely have a cover letter. And, for example, with the Austin Peel and Son, as an example, that was a they didn't have a permit. So there was really the only option we had was to provide the provide refunds back. But definitely we have a website that provides a lot of information on pre-needs and so forth. There's also information on our website as well. But during this process, we are in contact with consumers. We are basically, we send out a first contact letter saying, consumer, this is, we have record that you might have purchased this contract from so-and-so. And we kind of explain to them what we're doing, and we ask them to contact mm-hmm. us back. Usually they call us back, and during that time, there's a lot of dialogue back and forth about what's going on, why are we doing this, and we also explain to them the options available at that point. Whatever, depending on the situation, because again, if it's an illegal contract, basically the only thing we can do at that point is provide the money back. But we can advise them, if you want to buy a legitimate pre-need contract, we can provide feedback and advice in that process as well. So yes, we do provide feedback.
Because your website, the website has the little brochure, and we have the brochure. And when people call us, that's what we do is we try to help them navigate that whole process and things to look for and watch for and just be careful because, they don't want to get themselves in that position again. Sometimes they can't help it. It's the funeral home that's done something, but, it's an opportunity to make sure they know the link for you guys to when they're, planning all that stuff.
Rebecca, this is Russell. I'm going to add a little bit to that also, is when the consumer buys a prepaid funeral contract, it's required mm-hmm. to have that disclosure in the contract where it has a link to the website where it gives information to consumers to ensure when they're buying it, it goes over funding differences. It has a lot additional information in addition to our DOB website.
That's great. Yeah, that's what I wanted to know. That's wonderful.
Good.
Okay, well, I think that ends my recap of the activity there. So I will let Russell take over here.
Well, with that, do I hear a motion to approve the activity of funds and the investment officer reports for the period March 1st, 2019 to February 29, 2020, as presented by Director Jesse Cecile?
I'll make the motion.
Okay, Rebecca makes a motion. Is there a second?
Oh, that wasn't me.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's very, like you said, it's hard.
So who Rebecca was, will second.
Amy, I'm sorry, Amy. Amy made the motion, and then Rebecca, you second, right?
Yes.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes. So we'll move on to item C, the agenda. And this is a discussion of and possible vote to ratify a claim related to Tom G. Walker Funeral Home, Inc., Coleman, Texas. And Assistant Deputy Commissioner Russell Reese will lead the discussion. First and foremost, before I go into the discussion, for those members who have participated for a while, you will notice that it's very fortunate we have not had the significant amount of claims that we used to have years ago. I don't want to jinx it, but we continue to kind of deal with some seizures years ago that happened, and a few contracts continue to pop up. Even though we go out at the time that we seize these records, we put press releases out, we try to notify all the consumers,
sometimes these folks have moved away, and it's years later where somebody comes back and says, uh-oh, that funeral home got seized or closed, but I had a contract. And so the following discussions is pretty much seizures that we have previously gone over, but I'll give you a quick little overview anyway. That's going to start on page 17, which will be the first claim. And page 17, flip to that. This is the Tom G. Walker claim. Again, this one we initially seized way back in 2016, and we have talked about it previously. As indicated on page 17, it gives you an overview of our previous attempts to try to find and collect funds from the previous owner. But this one, as indicated, he has previously passed away. His wife at the time of many years ago, the estate of, and we contacted the attorney, and he said there was no funds. So at that time, it was pretty much bankrupt, so we have not pursued any additional collections. But this individual had a valid claim, and I will flip to page 18. 18 is the individual name and the contract amount and the less retainage. His claim was $5,400. Also like to point out, as we've talked in the past, there is a maximum that we're allowed to pay with the commissioner approval on a threshold that we come back to y'all for ratification. That claim is a value of $6,000. Is that correct?
$6,500.
I'm sorry, I'm dating myself. That was a long time ago. It's increased to $6,500 several meetings ago. Correct. But with that was under the threshold amount. On page 19 is the actual contract that was presented from the individual. Page 20 will show the date it signed and the individuals who signed on that prepaid funeral contract. And it shows the payment of $6,000, and it also goes on to say the full payment of the contract. And then on page 21 of the package, it will be a letter dated June 13th, 2019, addressed to Ms. Tubbs, telling her the check is enclosed from the guarantee fund for payment of restitution for her. And page 22 is the actual check received from the comptroller for the $5,400 for restitution. With that, do I have any discussions or additional questions related to that particular claim?
I have a question.
Okay.
It might be silly. Okay, so on page 21, that letter, is that a standard letter that is sent along with the restitution check?
Yes, this is a letter that's addressed as a standard letter to the claimant, just to say, find attached the actual reimbursement for the claim.
Right. And then so when we discussed previously about, I'm looking up at the top and it has the DOB's information and the website, but that's the only information they get along with the restitution check. Like, I'm just wanting to know if there's other helpful information that, some other wording maybe that they could use. I guess you said you're in contact with these people by phone for any questions they might have as far as going forward with maybe a searching for another prepaid or pre-need situation.
Yes, Rebecca, I guess we could try to add more disclosures on that cover letter, but please be aware this is after the fact that the individual is not really buying a prepaid.
Right.
That's already occurred years ago, but we could. Mm-hmm. But I don't see a problem, Jesse, adding additional disclosures as far as for the consumer, just letting them know further discussions. You may access that additional website and such.
Right. Yes, and for the most part, is like I said, there's a verbal dialogue, and sometimes depending, there's also some written correspondence as well. This is just a cover letter of the check saying, Mr. and Mrs. Tubbs, here's your check that as we previously discussed,
right,
or something. That's pretty much what it's intended to do, not necessarily to provide,
yeah,
additional disclosures. But like Russell said, we could maybe put at the bottom a link or something to our prepaid website as well, so they can obtain that information.
I think that would be great.
Okay.
Because, I mean, gosh, you don't want it to happen again.
Yeah, we can do that, Rebecca. We'll do that, Rebecca.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
And Russell, are you going to discuss, go on to D?
Yeah, well, first we have to make, I have to go through the voting on that one, then I'll discuss D also. We're on C right now, of the possible vote to ratify that claim, on C only. So do I hear a motion to ratify the claim related to Tom G. Walker Funeral Home, Inc., Coleman, Texas, as presented by Assistant Deputy Commissioner Russell Reese?
This is Wallace. I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Wallace. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Amy. Thank you, Amy.
Yep.
Any further discussion? All in favor? What's that?
It's me. Okay. this is a silly question. Can you tell me why does ratify mean and why we're doing it and what happens if we don't ratify it?
Okay. As I indicated earlier, there's a previously the actual ability was voted to increase it to $6,500 for the commissioner with certain documentation to authorize payment and the ratification, because this was previously approved by other advisory council to give the authority, and it's in statute and rule to allow us, in lieu of holding it up for consumers, because if not, the consumers would be held up for maybe 6 months or a year until we had a meeting. That's why many, many, many years ago it was passed that to allow the commissioner, depending on documentation, to go ahead under that threshold to get the consumer their money, and then at the time of the meetings, we could ratify those particular claims.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Well, we had a motion and a second to approve. Then I'm going to throw it out. Any other discussion? Then I'll say all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. Thank you. Now we will go on to D, and let's see, item D is located, the first page is on 23. And again, as indicated previously, this is a previous seizure that I'll give you an overview, which also is addressed in the memorandum. This previously occurred, though, because the funeral home was fraudulently canceling contracts for consumers and not forwarding the funds to purchasers. In fact, we came, I think it was approximately, there it is, $290,000 of money that was ultimately found that was stolen from consumers. With that, there was a previous cease and desist order and a seizure. We were able to go after the individuals and we did get some collection, but we, unfortunately, the person stopped paying. We did forward it to the AG subsequent to the seizure, though. And right now, I'm glad to report that all, at least restitution, we were able to collect through the AG. I believe there were some assets they were able to locate to get consumer funds back. So as of right now, all consumers' principal has been paid back, and the remaining restitution of about $124,000 we're still trying to collect, but that is just related to interest only. So a part of good news, initially when we started this seizure, and this again has been talked at several different guarantee fund meetings in the past. With that, like I said before, sometimes individuals, I know we sent two press releases out to the local paper. We notified all consumers that we had record at the time of the seizure. They're told how to file a claim and went through that whole process, and you think you have established everybody that needs restitution, but periodically somebody will come out who's moved away in a different state and say, by the way, I have a contract. then we have to go through our records, verify them to ensure that we didn't previously pay that individual. And if we did not have record of it and they sold the contract while they had a valid permit, that's what the guarantee fund is for, to, for the consumer's protection. And with that, what we did, page 23 and 24, was one claim. The individual has a contract for $1,765, and the claim is a total claim of $1,588.50. Then on page 25, we'll show you the contract from the El Paso Mission Funeral Home with a permit number on there. It indicates a contract price of $1,289 that was sold for the consumers. Contract was sold on 1994 of April 9th on page 26. Then page 27, we do get backup documentation if it's not clear from the contract was paid in full. These are receipts that were provided from the consumer or the consumer representative on page 27 and then on page 28. Then page 29 is our cover letter that goes back just to attach to the check back to the family and saying, here's your check for X amount of money. And that went out, of course, on September 9th, 2019 to the individual. On page 30 is the actual check again for $1,588.50 from the comptroller. And that's one of two claims for the El Paso Funeral Home that I'm going to talk about. That would be on page 31. We'll start the second claim. It's all under the same motion to ratify, but there's two different claims related to the El Paso Funeral Home. The, that first one I discussed, and now the second one's on page 31. And as you can see, it's going to have the same background information on the claim, but then page 32 will have the actual individual name, the purchaser's Hernandez, contract number, dollar amount reflected on there of $1,493.50. And then it shows you the net guarantee fund claim of $1,344.15 for this individual. Page 33 will also be a copy of the contract for that individual showing $1,493.50. And of course we black out the signatures and such for confidentiality on all claims. It was dated November 5th, 1997 while the funeral home had a permit with the Department of Banking. Page 34, it will be receipts that were issued to the individual from the El Paso Mission Funeral Home. And then page 35, again, is the standard letter that goes to the individual, Ms. Hernandez, showing her, please find attached, a copy of the check, which is on page 36, for $1,344.15 for restitution for the Hernandez Funeral Home. With that, I'm opening up to any questions or comments related to that, those two claims for Hernandez Funeral Home. All right. Then without any more comments, do I hear a motion to ratify the claims related to El Paso Mission Funeral Home, Inc., El Paso, Texas, as presented by Assistant Deputy Commissioner Russell Reese?
I'll motion.
Thank you, Rebecca.
I'll second.
And then Wallace second. Thank you, Wallace. Any other discussion? Well, then all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it and the motion passes. Thank y'all. Now we're going to move on to item D of the agenda. And item E, let's see.
Item E.
Yes. What did I say?
I think you said D, or I heard D.
I think I did. Well, again, pardon, we're kind of with the microphones and such having a little difficulty even hearing on our big table here. So with that, I'm going to go to item E, and I believe Jesse Cecile, Director of Non-Depository, will have that discussion.
Yes. Okay, so on behind item E, pages 37 through 45 is a red line version of the administrative memorandum, and 46 through 54 is the final draft version of it. So as you all know, while the council is not subject to the investment policy, we do try to follow it as while the council is not a subject to the requirements of the Public Funds Investment Act, we do try to follow it as closely as we can. Also, our policy requires us that we review it annually, or that the council reviews it annually, and that we document such a review. So that is the reason why we're bringing it up, because the last time we went over was in November of 2019, and we do have our yearly meeting, so the next one, and we'll get to that later, but the next one will be sometime in May again. That's what we foresee doing it. So that's why we want to go ahead and go through it now in anticipation of not having another meeting until a year from now. So on page 37, you're going to notice that the main changes there are just updating the dates. There are no other suggested changes. There is a typo on page 39, small typo where instead of being in, it should be is, and we are fixing that there. Other than that, there are no other suggested changes. So it's the main one is on page, again, updating the dates and then just fixing a small typo. That's all I have for this. We next time we meet, the legislature may be in session, and we may have to have another meeting sometime in November of next year, of 2021, I guess. So that's all I have. Does anybody have any questions? No? Okay. Russell?
All right. Without any other discussion, do I hear a motion to reapprove Administrative Memorandum 2016 as presented by Director Jesse Cecile?
I'll motion.
Thank you. Thank you, Rebecca. Do I have a second? Thank you, Amy. I appreciate it. We have a second. Any further discussion? Then all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it, and the motion passes. Thank you very much. Now we're going to move on. I believe that probably is the last voting item for our meeting, but on item F, I believe Jesse Cecile will go over some discussion of collection efforts related to the prepaid funeral guarantee fund.
Yes, hi. Yes. Again, Jesse, again, this is a short recap of like Russ said earlier, we haven't had a lot of new things come up. We did have one, but and we'll go over here a little bit. But pages 55 through 57 are those entities that we are currently collecting restitution from. And these are all related to prepaid funerals contracts or something related to a prepaid funeral. We continue to monitor it on a monthly basis, and we have one of our administrators here that is the primary person in charge, and then Jay Kim, our review examiner, also is helping out, and then ultimately we do produce these reports for your review. As you can tell, everybody, for the most part, on page 55 is current, and these are as of February 29th. That's when we cut off the dates. So everybody is pretty much current. We are monitoring them, like I said, on a continuous basis. On page 57, you will notice at the bottom of that page, we do have Hernandez Funeral Home. That's the one we talked about earlier, and you can see that there's the restitution and penalty amounts, and they are currently paying on the restitution on a timely basis so far. On page 58, we just have the one that paid in full during this time period. And again, this was just a contract that we found out that and we were able to collect restitution and pay it to the consumer back in October of 19. That's basically a kind of a brief summary. There's not anything unique there, and we are continuing monitoring this, and whenever necessary, we get our legal division involved to try to, you know, make sure we collect whenever that's necessary. Any questions? Okay, well, good. Thank you.
And with that, I'm gonna let Jesse also, and I'll chime in a little bit on discussion of future meeting dates. And before Jesse, I want to clarify that historically we used to have twice a year because we had a lot of claims, a lot of activity. And Rebecca, to your point, if there was a claim over 6,500, we had to have a meeting to get approval before we could even pay it, which necessitated more frequent meetings. If we have something of that nature, then there's a possibility that the next meeting would be November of this year or sooner if there's a big defalcation that we don't know about that requires y'all's approval so we can get consumers' funds faster. However, if we don't and we have this normal, very limited activity, it will be sometime in May of 2021 would be our next expected date. I know we usually put one out, but it's so far out. I believe Jesse this last time, at least 3 to 4 weeks at least out, and maybe even probably two months out, we'll start the process of touching base to see what works for y'all members before we have a meeting.
Right. So, yeah, so for now, we'll figure it out depending on the schedules and where we're at with this current pandemic as well. You know, we need to figure out where that's going to be at. And as soon as we start getting closer to that date, I will start reaching out to all the members. And also just kind of talking about members, Wallace, you and I talked about your term expiring at the end of this year. And I know I'll be contacting you later on, maybe summertime or something, to see where, if you're interested, I think you can serve one more term, and hopefully you're able to. And I'll reach out to you at that time and see where your current status is, and we'll go from there. Sound good?
Sounds good. All right. Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
And then, Jess, I guess Rebecca and Amy don't.
Till next year.
Till next year, yes. December 2021.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. That is correct. Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's all I have.
Okay. Well, I'm going to open it up to any other additional questions, comments, concerns, or at this time before we conclude the official meeting. Is there any other questions, comments at this time?
Well, Commissioner Cooper was missed. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I believe he had a last-minute issue, important issue, and he was going to try to make it. He actually told me this morning, he said, hey, I'm going to try to be there, so just start without me, but I will try. So, no, I think he's fine. It's just he had some other thing that came up unexpectedly. But, no, yeah, thank you.
Yeah. I will let him know you said that. Meeting well.
I will let him know you said that, Rebecca, that you missed, that you
okay,
was missed.
Please do.
Now, Rebecca, I don't know how to take that. Did you mean that I didn't fill in properly, or did
you filled in just fine?
Okay, thank you.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that you've been there that long. I can't believe it.
Well, you know, time flies when we're having fun. So anyway, with that, I'm going to go ahead and get. There's no other further business at this time. The prepaid funeral guarantee fund is now adjourned. The time now I have is 1:45 p.m.